Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning into the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. My name is Mary Hollis, and I am your host, and I hope that all is well with you tonight. Once again, we have another wonderful testimony to be told tonight, and I hope that you will be blessed by it. We've had last week and the week before, and we have another one tonight. But before I begin, testimony tonight, I would like to read something, because at the end of Tracy's testimony, I would like to talk about and ask her maybe some questions, and I'll just end it with one of our announcement, and that'll be in because we don't have but 30 minutes for this program. And thank you so much for tuning in. Though I bring grief, this is Jesus says, though I bring grief, I will show compassion. So don't despair when hard times come your way, and do not try to escape them prematurely. Timing there is a time for every and a season for every activity under heaven. Grief is a season, and I use it for your good. Unlike the four seasons of the year, the seasons of your life are not orderly or predictable. When you are grieving, you are feeling as if sorrow would accompany you the rest of your days. But remember that I have promised to show compassion. So great is my unfailing love for you. When you are suffering, search for signs of merciful presence. Even during your darkest days, strikes of light breaks through the storm cloud, providing hope and comfort. My unfailing love shines upon you always. Look up to me and see my face shining down upon you. I will never run out of compassion. They are new every morning and every day. So just knowing that God is always there with us, he will show us some sort of light and comfort and merciful to us when we need that most. Well, tonight I'm going to bring Tracy on just a moment, and I hope that she will bring some comfort to know that you can get through this journey of grief. And he loves you, and he will definitely always be there for you, even though when you feel your weakest, he's there. He'll show you some sort of light. Tracy Lowe experienced grief and loss at an early age. If she chose to tell her age, she will do so. But Tracy wrote her story, and the name of her story is This Can't Be Love on page 39 of A Widow's Touch. I'm going to let Tracy talk and tell you her story. When she lost her husband, her husband transitioned. Ooh, I can't get it pronounced, get out of my mouth. But anyway, she had a beautiful girl, and her daughter was 8 months, and her name is Claxton. And I am going to now let Tracy tell the rest of the story in her own way. Tracy?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
And Tracy lives here in Georgia, in Covington, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Well, I first want to say that thank you, Ms. Hollis, for giving me this platform to tell my story. Me and my husband knew each other before we were married, maybe about 6-7 years, and he was what I considered the love of my life. Everybody knows they have that one special person who they see themselves with for the rest of their lives. And we had dated for a while, and then we had gotten married, and we had moved out to Covington, and Clarkson came. And that was his only child, my only child. That was, everything to us. I had a very rough pregnancy with Clarkson, but we got through it, and, everything was perfect. We had a new home, new baby, and one day I was sitting here with Clarkson because I was a stay-at-home mom. I was in school. I was going to school to be a teacher. So I'm at home, and I get a knock on my door. And I was like, okay, because I don't get a lot of company, or people usually call before they come. And on this particular, I'll never forget that knock. And even to this day, when I get unsuspecting knocks or rings at the door, it still does something to my spirit. And on this particular, I looked outside, and there was a sheriff at my door. And when I opened the door and he asked, I can't even remember if he asked for my name or did I know Tony Lowe Jr. Was this the residence of Tony Lowe Jr.? And I was like, And I knew instantly something was not right. And I just told him I didn't want to hear it. I knew something was wrong. I didn't want to hear it. And he asked me, was anyone home with me? And I knew exactly then. And he said, he came in and he said Tony had been in a horrible accident. And I said, well, where is he? You know, is he okay? Can I go see him? Can you take me to him? And he said, no, everything is not okay. And I know that when he got off work that he was heading to his mother's house. His mother and his grandmother, they were celebrating his grandmother's birthday in Las Vegas. So he was going to his mother's house to feed her dogs. And, I just in my mind, I just didn't want to hear what was going on, what was being said. But I called a cousin of mine, and she came over. And it was, to make a long story, just a little shorter, just for time's sake, it was a very rough time. I had to stop school for a little bit, and I went back. And, you know, I had to raise Clarkson by myself, and it was a very hard thing. You see people with their husbands and their children have their fathers, and you feel like, well, why, you know, why me? And I had to, I went through these stages of grief where you were one minute, you were extremely sad, then the next minute you were angry, and then the next minute you were asking why, and you were like, God, why me? And I asked God to give me peace. That's what I've always prayed for, is peace, and to keep me in my right mind when I go through. And God gave to me something in my spirit that said that it's not about you. And I always look, I thought about that. How is it not about me when it's happening to me? You know, God helped me to understand. And I can't say that a lot of people say, well, God spoke to me. God spoke to me in many different ways as years went on. And I grew a little wiser in my situation. And I didn't let it control me. Because a lot of times when we go through grief of that nature, we start to let things control us. And I said, I can't let it control me because I have a little person who needs me. She needs me. And I had to think about some things. Everybody's going to walk this way in some point in their life, some a little earlier than others. Mine was just a little earlier than other people. And I had to look at it. Am I going to let this make me and shape me, or am I going to let this break me? And I vowed that I would not let this break me. Even when things got rough, a lady told me, she said, you go in your prayer closet, and if you got to kick, scream, and cry, do that. But when you walk out that closet, you come out renewed. You come out renewed, and you ask God to keep you and hold you through all of this. And that's what I've done. And now my daughter is 11 years old. I'm 41, about to be 42 in December. And it's a blessing that I know that I can use this platform of what I've went through to help other people get through. And it's, I still have rough times. And you can love after loss. You know, now, you know, it's, I've learned to look at life a whole lot different than I once did. I cherish life. Life is not something I take for granted anymore. You know, I've been blessed that and my prayer was always that I could stay home with my daughter, watch her grow, get her together. I'm able to do that. I'm at home, and I'm able to be very active in her school life, in her little social life, and just doing things for her, you know, showering her with all the love that she needs, because she needs me more than ever a lot of times, because she doesn't have that father. She has a village. She has a beautiful village of aunts and grandparents and uncles and cousins and people who rally around her, who support her, who's there for her. But I know ultimately it's me that I have to be in my right mind. I have to be prayed up. And the main thing that I do, if you need help, you go seek help. If you need counseling, you seek counseling. You seek God's face, and you stay on your knees and you pray. And things are not going to always be easy. But one thing I know, that God is, he is awesome. and he'll give you what you need right when you need it, right when you think you're at your breaking point. God will give you everything that you need. And, you know, it's just really a thing that we have to look at, that is very, it's very unfortunate that we go through what we go through. But it's not about us. And it ain't God being, oh, I'm gonna pick on you, you know, because sometimes we feel picked on. Because not too long ago in 2017, my son was born, stillborn at 38 weeks, and it was like, God, why me? Not again, you know, not again, God, not me. And I had to go back and say, wait a minute, you're not in this by yourself. He said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Things are going to happen. Storms are going to happen. But I thank God for peace, and I thank God for his mercy and the fact that through everything, he has kept me. But I still, you know, you have your moments. But you just got to ask God, stay prayed up. And if you need help, seek it. It's nothing wrong with getting help. I go to I've been with the Widows Ministry for a long time. I've also, after I lost my son, I also go and seek therapy and counseling, because that's what we need. And it's never a bad thing. It's a good thing. We all need a little counseling. We all could use a little therapy. And I just want people to know that it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. This is something that has happened. And God, it's going to be some nights and some days. You're going to be like, oh, God, what am I going to do? And he's going to give it to you if you listen and you clear your mind, have your heart clear. God is going to give you what you need when you exactly when you need it. And I pray that my story is able to help someone else, no matter how old or how young. All of us are going to walk this way, or a lot of us will walk this way. But you just have to just seek God's face and just keep praying, and things will be okay. And I want to thank you again, Miss Mary, for giving me this opportunity to share my story, and so that it may help somebody else, or to, you know, let people know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for that wonderful testimony. I'm going to compare Tracy's story to some of the things that happened to my story. Tracy was young, and I was young. We didn't have a long time that we in our marriage, but even though that we have similar situations, we also persevered. And we saw where God was in the midst of all of this. Yeah, we both experienced a knock on the door. We didn't want that knock on the door. But, yes, we received a knock on the door. From that point on, we had to make decision of our life. We both had little children. So, and we had all different types of feelings, emotions at such an early age, and why? Why are we going through this? We're just beginning in our marriage. We are just beginning to see all the beautiful things marriage could bring to a husband and wife and a child. But we saw God's light, and we kept walking and walking in that light. Like I say, it wasn't easy, but we made it. And Tracy, also, in your story, at the end of your story, you mentioned that you met a lot of ladies, and you told your story about 100 times. Let's talk about that. Talk about meeting those ladies and what you said to them. Give us some thoughts on that. Tracy? Hello.
I'm here. I'm sorry. With meeting different people, I have met women who have been going through something in their marriages, and I have given them words to help them to see the bigger picture, that you're going to go through some things, but to look at me, and my spouse is no longer here, but you got to look at it as if something happened to your spouse, you would be devastated. Whatever it is, clean it up, fix it, get it right. Even other widows that I've spoken to, a lot of people, you know, you look at me and say, well, you're a widow, this young, you know. And sometimes you feel like, oh, gosh, you know, because, and then sometimes there's an age gap where you look at it and say, well, I didn't have this long, but they had a long time. Am I not supposed to feel a certain kind of way because we had a short amount of time? So it's so many different emotions and different things, but I always try to encourage couples when I meet people who are married or I meet other widows, I always try to encourage them, even those who are much older than me, trying to encourage them because you never know who's listening and who needs that word from you.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And also I want you to talk about Clarkston.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she's very special. Even though that you're raising when you raise your children alone, that doesn't mean that that child will lack anything. And
mm-hmm.
and as I see you and Carsten on Facebook all the time, and all of her accomplishments. Let's talk about Carsten because I want the ladies to know that if they do have children in their home, God will still be there, and I want them to know about Carsten, how talented she is, how smart she is, and about her grades and so forth like that.
Clarkston is 11, and she'll be going to middle school next year. And I keep her involved, and that keeps me busy, involved in a whole lot of stuff. Girl Scouts, I'm her Girl Scout troop. I'm their leader. She makes very good grades. She's in the junior beta club at school. She's in chorus and honor chorus. She's an ambassador at her school. She does a lot of community service. We do a lot of trips. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people may say, well, maybe you're overcompensating. But I don't think so. I think that as parents, whether if her father was here or not, those are the things we're supposed to do. And as a mother, I feel like sometimes I have to take it up a notch because her father is not here. But she is not lacking for anything. She's not wanting for anything. Our prayer life, we pray every morning, every afternoon. I teach her to have a prayer life, pray, you know, praise and tell God what, and you too have to do what you're supposed to do. But she handled, now we go through growing pains. She is, you know, she's a little girl and trying to figure things out. But beyond that, I keep her busy, 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 busy. And she's told me herself, Mama, we do more than some people who have two parents because I want to keep her busy. I don't want her to be idle. I want her to stay in things and to always keep that in mind, even as she gets older and goes off into future endeavors. I want her to always put her best foot forward and to keep that prayer life constant.
What have you done for Clarkston to remember, and that she was only 8 months?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, what have you done throughout the years to let her know about her father when she got old enough to understand?
I have his pictures of them up. Pictures of them in her room, in our home. We celebrate her father's birthday. We go to his grave and put flowers on for different, you know, different parts of the year, the fall, the spring. And I always remind her that she, you know, she is of him. You know what I'm saying? Even just telling her some of her ways, her wit, she's funny like her dad. Just different things. We visit her father's mom and dad and family and things of that nature. I never let her lose sight Even as I have went on to find love again, I never pressed that on her, that she has to, you know, she let people know, heads up, oh, I have a dad. You know what I'm saying? Even though my father is not here, you know, living, she knows who her father is. She loves her dad. We talk. I even ask her, if you need help, would you tell me, you know, even if it's to talk about it, we talk about him often. She asked me questions because she don't remember. But pictures, we have thousands of pictures. Her father was a, her grandfather was a photographer, is a photographer, and her dad used to love to take pictures, and I never understood why he loved to take so many pictures. But now we see, we have millions of pictures, and we go through the pictures, and I just keep that memory alive going for her.
Okay. Can y'all hear me? Craig Tracy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I had to switch phones. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
One last question. What would you say to the ladies on the line? We have a lot of new widows. We call them widows. We call ourselves widows, walking widows. So we know that God is walking through this journey with us. What would you want to say to them before we end this talk show? Excuse me, I ran up down the stairs.
I would just tell them to stay busy. Don't confine yourself. Do things that you love to do. If you love to read, if you love to go places with your friend, and keep yourself around people. A lot of times we get closed off and we shut down. You know, let people who you trust, you know, stay busy in the widow's ministry when they have outings. Take part in that because you find comfort in being around those who are like you, you know, have gone through the same thing as you. You find comfort in that. And just continue to pray and ask God for peace, and just make sure that if you need help to talk to people outside of this, don't ever be afraid or ashamed to talk to people. If you need help, if you need to seek therapy, go and do that. And all I can say is just stay prayed up, and God, it's going to be okay. It don't look like it right now, but it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. It gets better. I'm not going to say you ever get over it, but it gets a little better as time goes on. And that's what I would leave with them. Just keep, you know, stay around good people, and things will get better.
Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for that wonderful testimony. And thank you for allowing me to ask you all those questions. Like I say, she has really gotten through this. And like I say, she still has times. We all have times that we go back and feel those emotional feelings about the loss of a loved one. So that's not something that we're going to ever lose. We're not going to forget those great memories, that person, loving person that was in our lives and was always there when we need to talk and do different things with. So thank you so much for tuning in and giving us that wonderful testimony tonight. And we will continue to ask God to continue to bless you and Coxton, that even when she starts smelling herself, that God will put a spirit in her, knowing that she needs to straighten up and be okay, because we know that kids go through different changes during different ages, but we all will get through it, and once we put God in the situation, he'll get us through it. He will definitely get us through it. So thank you so much, and continue out. I'm glad I'm your Facebook friend, because like I say, I love seeing the Clarkston accomplishment, and she's very talented and beautiful. young lady, and hope that both of you will be blessed and God will continue to walk with you and you have a successful and also loving life to come. And thank you out there. A lot of you called in tonight and listened to the testimony. We were having a great audience today with these testimonies, and I thank you all, and I hope that this testimony encourages you that you can get through this journey of grief. We don't like to hear the word grief. I like to hear the word widow. But, yes, we are, that we are identified as widows. And knowing that God loves widows, in 1 Timothy 5:3 it says, honor thy widows. Honoring you is so, and I mean, to know that I'm special. God loves me. Even though that I am going through this, he still loves me. We are special in his sight. So just knowing that even though we still want our spouses back sometimes, if you were so special, why this have to happen? But life does happen. So many things happen in life, and we have to accept it. We don't want to go there. We are never ready for this. But just knowing that God loves you, and he will continue to be there for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is all I had tonight. I'm not going to talk about the trip. You know the situation with the trip and everything. We will not meet next month, April. April had, it's Palm Sunday and Easter. But we will have a free conference call .com where I'm going to send all of you a number to call as well as a password. And all you have to do is listen like you're doing tonight. Now, during the conference call, you can actually speak to each other or me. So that's the good thing. We're not going to meet like we always meet monthly. We're going to meet on the freeconferencecall.com. I will be sending you, it will probably not be on a Tuesday night. It will probably be on another night because of Easter, and I just want to make sure that you enjoy that wonderful month of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So just be, always look, whenever you see a group text from me, please read it, because that's the only way I can get in touch with you as a group and not having to call each of one of you individually. So we're going to do a free conference call .com. I think it's necessary because there are things that will continue to go on. We're going to be doing something for Mother's Day for homeless women. We always get inspirational books that we want to collect and get it to them for Mother's Day. We'll talk more about that at the next teleconference, and I will tell you when you need to get that to me, and so we can be able to deliver that to the homeless women with children. So that is it, what I have to say tonight. I thank you, we're blessed with Tracy. And Tracy, thank you again, once again. And everyone, good night. Be blessed.
Our backs were against Deserve the love and mercy you show.